Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. How's everybody doing out there? Let me make sure I'm on the air. One of those nights. You hate when things run overtime. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, things had to run overtime because we had to get stuff going. We're all here about fighting that war. I call it the safety war. It's a little bit controversial, I understand. You can't talk about this being a war. So this is what I always point out. Not Jimmy's numbers. OSHA's numbers. I was involved in a meeting today with some folks, really good folks, most of the morning, on one of the organizations, the safety organizations I belong to. They have a quarterly meeting, and today was the meeting, right? I know it's April, but, you know, quarterly usually means March, June, not so much April, but we had a quarterly meeting. It was very productive. One of the presenters there says, well, there's, you know, roughly 5,000 people a year killed on the workplace. In the workplace, and, you know, roughly 1,000 from construction, blah, blah, blah. They break it all down. Okay, great. That's all great and wonderful. Right? But those are all based on what? The OSHA 300 laws and all the associated paperwork when you call in. And, you know, things get filtered through workers' comp, and there's, like, a lag time because sometimes, right, there's a calendar year thing, and something may happen on the 30th and not get really December 30th and not get logged in until later on, and there's some debate, and then, you know, you get someone hurt, and then later on they die, and there's lag time. But according to OSHA, and we're going to go over this for our Workers' Memorial Day broadcast, and this year it's on a Sunday, April 28th, so we're looking at either the 26th or the 29th to talk about this, unless we're going to do something over the weekend. According to OSHA's own numbers, something like 50,000 people a year are killed from chronic, meaning long-term occupational situations. Their numbers, not mine. Okay, we're going to go over how they got there. So the question always is, and there was a manager at an oil refinery in New Jersey that always asked this question, and it's a very relevant question. Well, you're not as good as what you think. And he used this as a way of, like, putting everybody down. Well, you're not as good as how you think. Oh, yeah, well, hey, we haven't had an accident in 30 years. Well, you're not as good as what you think, how you think. Or, you know, oh, we had, you know, hey, we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're not as good as how you think. And I don't know what the intention was here, if it was to put you into place or if it was genuinely along the lines of, and I would like to think it was along the lines of, hey, what are you not looking for? Just one time, I just wanted to say to the guy, you know, when I bit my tongue, just one time I wanted to say to the guy, well, you're not as good as how you think you are. Right. Just, but, you know, they're the boss, you, and you're working and you don't want to say that. However, if I ever see, he's retired now. And if I ever see him on the street, I we're talking, that might be a thing I say to him. But anyway, not that I'm being vindictive, but, you know, sometimes people need to be put in their place. as we all know. And but the thing is, pain for pain doesn't really get you anywhere. So you got to be very careful with pain for pain. Now, it is this Monday coming up in the United States, April 15th, 2024, is the income tax filing deadline for calendar year 2023 taxes. Now, this always comes up at about this time of year. Now, unless you file for an extension, then it's, and these are personal income taxes, file for an extension, then it goes to October 10th. And if you file for an extension after that, you better have a very good reason, right? Because I tell you what, the IRS is going to, you know, you're going to have an issue. We'll leave it at that. Now you're going to say, why are we talking about this? Well, business taxes were due March 15th, right? So for the IRS for fiscal year, for calendar year 2023. Why are we talking about this? It's really, really important in safety that you understand taxes. Now, Sheldon Primus and I had a conversation many moons ago on specifically the importance of paying taxes, and whether you're an independent contractor or a employee. All right. And it is an IRS question, but this is actually really important that you know this, because this is what happens, right? This is what, I'm not saying that you're a safety guy that this happens. I'm saying, or a gal, when I say guy is generic, I understand, believe me, mostly women that I have hired, mostly women. So in the safety field. So I get it. All right. Now you're going to say, well, what? No, why are we talking about this? My question is this. Are independent contractors employees? The answer is no. Now, here's the next question. If you're an independent contractor, also known as a 1099 quote-unquote employee or 1099 independent contractor, does OSHA have a jurisdiction over you? Come on. Do I got to get the, what do you think? Do I have a sound effect here for that? I don't know. Let's see. Here's news for you. Here's the news. The news is this. You're not covered under OSHA. OSHA does not have jurisdiction over you. Now you're going to say, well, Jim, what's the big issue with that? This is what companies do. And it's wrong, by the way. It's wrong that they do this. They go out and they say, and if you're going to be especially a landscaper in Region 2, because this is what landscapers often do, day laborers, anything that involves day laborer, all right? I was at a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant for my father-in-law today, and because of I drive a 2011 Chevy pickup, right? I love the thing, by the way. And it's obvious, I bought it from one of my contractor friends. People thought it was, I'm picking up a day laborer. I had a whole bunch of day laborers come up to me. But, you know, hey, you need work, you know. Anyway, so companies go and they hire people. And they say, I tell you what, I'm either going to pay you under the table, or if I'm going to pay you above the table, I mean off the books or on the books, we're just going to make you an independent contractor. What does the employer have to do? The employer does not, as a independent contractor, and we're going to go into what that, how we classify that. As an independent contractor, the employer says, now I don't have to pay Social Security tax. I don't have to pay income tax, right? Because you look at that W-2 form or whatever it's called, all right? The taxes that are withheld from your paycheck are also the taxes approximately. I'm not an accountant. I'm not an attorney.
anything like that, are approximately the same amount that the employer has to pay. Did you know that? A lot of people don't know that. A lot of employees don't know that. So quarterly, unless you are signed up with a payroll service, quarterly, all of that money goes into an escrow account or it goes into an account, and you have to write out a check for that. Number one. What else don't you need? You don't have to supply health insurance. What else don't you need to do? You don't have to comply with OSHA because they're an independent contractor. Safety related. Number four, you don't have to worry about workers' comp because they're an independent contractor. Any of the unemployment taxes are nothing in there. And you don't have, now, you could see where you can run into problems. So if you're a true independent contractor, right? A true independent contractor, it's incumbent on you to pay all that quarterly. And God forbid that you're behind, because if you get behind now, and these are rough numbers, it's a $10,000 for every $10,000 you know owe the IRS, you owe something like $300. And then you get whacked with a $300 interest fee every month per $10,000. Then you get into a failure to pay penalty, roughly $300 for every $10,000. The IRS will tell you you're better off putting it on a credit card and paying the credit card interest rates than paying us. Because I tell you what, you probably are in some situations. All right. Unless you can negotiate and, you know, do a mea culpa and everything else with them. And, you know, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. Then maybe you could get off. Then maybe you're going to have mercy on you. But that's what it is. So if you're an individual, an independent contractor, you better make darn sure that you pay your income taxes. Now, for a company, let's talk about OSHA. These are some of the nightmare scenarios I have seen. All right. So a company pays someone as an independent contractor. They say, oh, you're an independent contractor. Person gets hurt. All right. Person gets hurt. Now, who pays for that? If you're paying someone who's a landscaper or something else, maybe not a lot of money, you're trying to get pay off the books, you're trying to pay them, you know, they may be a migrant, illegal here in the country illegally, something like that, now you have a problem. They go to the hospital. What are they going to say? Where did they get the injury? Come on, where do you think? I got the injury at work. Oh, so now the hospital is going to put in there workers' comp. Now workers' comp is going to come around to you and the paper, and you're not going to report it. The company's not going to report it. They're going to say, and you have certain, depending on what state you're in, you have certain time thresholds and everything else. And that's all a state managed plan, right? No fault insurance. Now it's going to be along the lines of, oh, why didn't you report it? Let's say that this also happens. They keep their mouth shut and they say, well, I was working around the house and I got hurt. Now it's going to be along the lines of, well, where's your health insurance? Well, I don't have health insurance. Oh, now somebody's got to pay that freaking bill. And guess what? After they get the bill from the hospital, approximately 60 to 90 days later, then it's going to be along the lines of, I ain't paying this bill. They're going to take the bill and they're going to say, here it is, right? Here it is. Now you pay the bill. And now you're going to get whacked. You're going to wish that you paid the workers' comp premium, because those bills tend to get pretty high sometimes. The other thing that happens is they get injured and it's a permanent injury. Now, if you are employing the person as a regular employee, they cannot sue you unless it's something totally over the top. They can sue everybody else, but they cannot usually sue the employee, the employer, very successfully. And that's a special type of litigation, and that's a special thing. there, it's going to be going out for years and years and years. You're going to have a situation. So now this is a mess. What it comes down to. Well, and then I've had clients say, well, hey, I'm having them sign a piece of paper saying that they're an independent contractor, blah, 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 and I'm covered. Baloney. They don't know what they're signing. That's what they're going to tell everybody. That's what they're going to tell the agencies. I didn't know what I was signing. It wasn't in my language. It wasn't in a language I can understand. I'm illiterate. I don't know what's going on. And whether they're true, telling the truth or not, this is what's going to happen. Okay. Now it's a mess. I've had situations where clients have called me up. Hey, we have this mess. Blah, 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 blah. Can you help us out? I'm like, there's not much I can do here. Do you have an accident management plan? No. Do you have training? No. Did you report it to OSHA? No, because he's an independent contractor, not an employee. It's incumbent on him to report it to OSHA. Well, does he know that? No? Well, guess what? Now, it went into the workers' comp system. Now it's coming back around to you, and it's going to bite you on the rear end. Big, big issues here. So, now, the other thing that happens, you hire someone as an independent contractor for a year. Whatever it is, it's over that magic number of 26 for the minimum for unemployment benefits. Or last I checked, it was 26 weeks. All right. Then they say, well, I've been here for 26 weeks. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to start saying, hey, I don't want to work here anymore. I want to go on a little vacation. I want to collect unemployment for 6 months or a year, whatever it is, right? And then they say, okay, so what happens? It's the end of the job. A couple of things happen. A week to go, end of the job, they get hurt. And now the whole scenario that I explained, they go through. The other thing is that you say, well, I don't need you anymore. They leave. And then they go to and file for unemployment benefits. And it's like, oh, wait, you're not eligible for unemployment. Nobody paid into your benefits. And now it's a 3 month long investigation as to why, blah, 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 blah. Oh, and then the IRS gets involved, the State Division of Taxation, which automatically somebody gets involved. I don't know if they get involved, the State Division of Taxation, or the federal IRS, somebody gets involved, maybe simultaneous for all I know. All right. And then they say, well, wait, you weren't paying unemployment taxes for these folks. You guys were in blah, blah, blah. You were so, well, they're an independent contractor, Mr. IRS, Department of Interior guy. Well, okay. Are they independent contractors? And now all of a sudden you get whacked with penalties, interest, and everything else. And you're going to pay them. You're going to pay them. I don't care what sovereign citizen tells you. You don't have to pay your income taxes. Guess what? You may be getting out of your criminal case. There have been documented cases. Aaron Russo, the movie maker, made a very phenomenal case about the IRS. But guess what? He documented somebody who won the criminal case, right? But they got him on the civilly. So what's the thing? Pay your freaking taxes. Do the right thing. Now, this is what happens here. You go to independent. Now, I have the page here. Independent contractor, right? Here we go. We're going to read through this because we are safety warriors, and this is what we do, right? No, let's see if I can zoom in a little. People, now this is from the IRS.gov website. People such as doctors, dentists, veterinarians, lawyers, accountants, contractors, subcontractors, public stenographers, or auctioneers who are in an independent trade business or profession which they offer their services to the general public are generally independent contractors. However, whether these people are independent contractors or employees depends upon the facts in each case. back in the day, they had a whole questionnaire that you filled out yes or no to. And then if you filled out, I forget what it was, yes to any of those, they were an employee. The general rule that is that an individual is an independent contractor if the payer has the right to control or direct only the result of the work and not what will be done and how it will be done. Pretty simple. Okay. More on that in a minute. If you're an independent contractor, then you are self-employed, which means you're not covered by OSHA. The earnings of a person who is working as an independent contractor are subject to a self-employment tax, right? And it goes in here with this, right, with the filing. I'm not an accountant. I'm not going to pretend I'm an accountant. Believe me, I'm not going to pretend. But now you have an issue. To find out what your tax obligations are, find out self-employment tax. If you're not an independent contractor, if you perform services that can be controlled by an employer, meaning what will be done and how it will be done, often means and methods, as called sometimes in some lexicons, this applies even if you are given freedom of action. What matters is that an employer has the legal right to control the details on how the services are performed. If an employer or employee relationship exists, regardless of what the relationship is called, then you are not an independent contractor and your earnings are generally not subject to self-employment taxes. However, your earnings as an employee may be subject to FICA, means Social Security tax, Medicare, and income tax withholding. Guess what? Someone's going to pay. I've heard horror stories with this. Where it took people, they made the mistake, and they were paying taxes for years and years. I know one dude who was paying the IRS for 25 years because of crap that he did or didn't do. Now, what is an employee? Under common law rules, anyone who performs services for you is your employee if you can control what will be done and how it will be done. So facts that provide evidence of the degree of control and independence fall into three categories: behavioral control, financial control, or type of relationship. So the example, Donna Lee is a salesperson, salesperson employed on a full-time basis by Bob Blue, an auto dealer. She works 6 days a week and is on duty in Bob's showroom on certain assigned days and times. She has, she appraises trade-ins, but her appraisals are subject to the sales manager's approval. Lists of prospective customers belong to the dealer. She has to develop leads and report results to the sales manager. Because of her experience, she requires only minimal assistance in closing and financing sales and in other phases of her work. She is paid a commission and is eligible for prizes and bonuses offered by Bob. Bob also pays the cost of health insurance and group term life insurance for Donna. So, is she an employee? You damn bet your butt she's an employee. What's this thing about behavioral control? Behavioral control. Types of instruction given, right? The when and where to do the work. So you have people, right? Let's say you're working in a warehouse. You have people out there. You're saying, well, they're independent contractors. Pardon me, I got a very itchy head under these lights here. But you have people out there and you say, okay, Frank, you got to go to such and such a project at 7 a.m. in the morning and you're working till 3:30 and we're going to pay you overtime. Guess what you now are? You're now an employee. Frank, you have to wear fall protection and here's a screwdriver. Here's a thing, let's do this. You're working in the blah, 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 blah. And here's your PPE. Guess what? Now you're an employee. You have to decide what workers to hire or to assist with the work. Well, Frank, you're going to be working with John, Joe, and Simon here. Well, guess what? You're not in it. Now you're all employees. And oh, by the way, Frank, you have to go down to the large warehouse store, right? Down the street. It's an orange and tan brick building, right? And the letters are in orange. You go down there and you go. And by the way, here's my credit card. Guess what? Now you are going down. Now Frank's an employee. What work must be performed by a specified individual? Frank, you are in charge of this. Joe, you're in charge of this. John, you're in charge of this. And Simon, you are in charge of this. Guess what? You're now an employee. What order or sequence to follow? So, Frank, first you want to do this. Then, Joe, you want to do this. And then, John, you want to do this. And Simon, you want to do this. Guess what? Now you're an employee. All right? The degree of instruction means the more detailed the instructions, the more control the business exercises over the worker. More detailed instructions indicate that a worker is an employee. Less detailed instructions reflects less control, indicating that the worker is more likely an independent contractor. Note, the amount of instruction needed varies among different jobs. If no instructions are given, sufficient behavioral control may exist if the employer has the right to control how the work results are achieved. A business may lack the knowledge to instruct some highly specialized professionals. In other cases, the tasks may require little or no. If an evaluation system measures the details on how the work is performed, then these factors will point to an employee. If the evaluation system just honors the end result, then this can point to either an independent contractor or an employee. If the business provides the worker with training on how to do the job, this indicates that the business wants the job done in a particular way. This is strong evidence that the worker is an employee. Periodic or an ongoing training about procedures and methods is even stronger evidence of an employer-employee relationship. However, independent contractors ordinarily use their own methods. Wow. That's a lot of information there. And guess what? Nobody else is talking about this dirty little thing because everyone's afraid of the IRS. Well, let me tell you about the IRS. Obey the law. File your taxes. Obey your law. Obey the law. You're not going to have a problem in all likelihood. Can't guarantee that. But guess what? This is what this is. Even the other wars, right? And we know the other wars. Right, there are many different wars out there. The other wars program. That guy won't even go near these people with a 10-foot pole, he says. Right? And I'm going to tell you this. Obey the law. Okay? Just obey the law. You're not going to have an issue. Now, what's a statutory employee? And they got all this other stuff. No, I don't want to go on and on and on. But this is what you have to do. Right. And people who think, well, I don't have to obey any OSHA laws or anything else. Well, guess what? You're an employee based on this. Are you doing the yes or no? You're in a murky area. So here we have, if it is still unclear whether a worker is an employee or an independent contractor after reviewing the three categories of evidence, then form SSA determination of work status for purposes of federal employment taxes and income tax withholding can be filed with the IRS. All right. So here is the thing. We'll go through SS-8. Again, I'm not an accountant, but we're going to go through this. Name of the firm, worker's name. They already got you. They're calling them a worker. Worker implies employee. Firm's mailing address, firm's tax number, and social security number, blah, 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 blah. Is the work being completed by a firm or a worker? Well, if it's done by, well, this is important. If it's done by a firm, so you have Frank here who set up his thing, Frank's Construction Services, and I'm just using that name. I don't know if that is a real thing. Frank's Construction Services, well, now it's a firm. Well, hold on. You're paying it to a firm. Guess what? You're paying another company to do this. Now your case for an independent contractor versus employee has gotten a little bit stronger, right? You explain your reasons for filing this firm. You received a bill from the IRS. You're unable to get workers' comp. You believe you erroneously received a Form 1099 or Form W-2. You are audited or are being audited by the IRS. Right? Okay. Total number of workers who performed and are performing the same or similar activities. How did the worker obtain the job? Was it by application, bid, employment agency, or other? Attach all copies of supporting documentation, contracts, invoices, memos, W-2 forms, 1099 miscellaneous forms, blah, 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 blah. Inform us of any current or past litigation concerning the worker's status. If no income reporting forms were furnished to the worker, enter the amount of income earned for the year at both W-2 and 1099, blah, 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 blah. Describe, going on and on, describe the firm's business. Did the worker receive pay from more than one entity? Two or more entities with different taxpayer identification numbers because of a business sale, merger, acquisition, or reorganization? What was the worker's job title to describe the duties? Which do you believe the worker is, an employee or an independent contractor, and please explain? Did the worker perform any services for the firm after, before or after the dates listed on line one or page one of this form? Is the work done under a written agreement between the firm and the worker? Is the work done under an oral agreement? Behavioral control, right? Is the worker required to complete reports, yes or no? How frequently does the worker perform services? As scheduled, as needed, or as available? Describe the worker's primary services. Right? Where are services performed? And then you got to list the percentage of firm, worker's office or shop, customer's location, or other. Is the worker required to attend meetings? Yes or no? What kind of meetings? Is the worker penalized if unable to attend a meeting? Yes or no? Is the worker required to provide the services personally? Yes or no? Can the worker hire substitutes or helpers? Yes or no? If a worker hires the substitutes or helpers, is approval required? Yes or no? Does the worker pay substitutes or helpers? Yes or no? Financial control. List the supplies, equipment, materials, and property provided by who's doing it? Are supplies, equipment, materials, or property of another person? And it goes on and on. Who's paying for stuff and everything else? Right? Does the worker take a financial risk? Can the worker suffer a financial loss? Who sets the rate of pay? All of this goes in there. Are benefits made available? Sick days, all this other stuff. And covering with sales first. So what's the moral of the story here? Right? So there is a famous case where somebody, I'm not going to mention the name because it's, you'll immediately know, and it was many, many years ago, and I will offend some people. A house got raided for drugs. They opened up, right, looking for drugs, and they opened up a closet. That's what I'm looking for. They opened up a closet, and they found a dead body in there. Now, the law enforcement, and it was litigated. Law, they said, look, the guy wasn't there for drugs. He found a dead body. What do we know? This was not a murder. This is a murder case. It's murder, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? But they're in a house for drugs, got a warrant for drugs. They're looking in there, and they find a dead body. They're going to investigate the dead body, right? We're not going to look at the dead body. Well, okay, now, what do you think is going to happen, especially if you're in a high-visibility area? I was adjusting the camera here. Like, you're a landscaper, you're a roofer, You're supplying daily. No. An OSHA has now made landscaping a targeted activity. Roofing has been. Shipyard, another one. OSHA targeted area. All these other areas. They're going to come in and they're going to say, right? And we had, and there was a case last year we covered in this with a roofer. They came on and they're going to, and now they're getting smart. They say, is this an employee not wearing fall protection? Well, and then they're going to interview the employee. Why aren't you wearing fall protection? You're going to get wrapped up. You're paying the person off the books. You're saying it's an independent contractor. You're saying that he's a friend doing you a favor. You're going to say all different kinds of stuff, right? And then it's going to be like, holy crap. They got 25 people here working here without that are independent contractors. And we talked to them, and now I know a little bit something about it. They're not independent contractors. Now let's call the IRS or the State Division of Taxation. They say, hey, you know, maybe you want to check out this company. Now you have a problem. Somebody gets hurt. They go to the hospital. Do you know that there are charities out there that go to the, they're like ambulance chasers. I know. I did a Freedom of Information Act for one of my clients. No, where we did all the right things and everything else. And OSHA showed up twice and blah, blah, blah. First time, couldn't do anything about it. Second time, well, guess what? You know, first time it all worked out well for the client and everything. But the employee was in the hospital. We're like, oh, we reported this. We did this. This is the blah, 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 blah. That we're doing all the right things. How come you're here? Well, oh, we can't tell you. It got reported. Well, who reported it? Well, I don't know. I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a Freedom of Information Act request. See what we get. Turns out there is a certain group that goes in the New York area to a hospital that goes around looking for at-risk employees and situations where employees are misclassified as independent contractors when they are actual employees and they cause all different kinds of issues and they report it. I'm neutral on what they do, all right? But this is what they do. You know, what are the chances with that? Oh, yeah, it happens. I found it, right? I found out what group was doing it and everything else. So you want to mess with this stuff, I don't recommend you mess with it. All right, I recommend you obey the law, as always, follow the law, whether it be an occupational safety and health law, whether it's a OSHA law, whether it's an IRS law, State Division of Taxation, all that, obey the law. Because it's not worth it. Believe me, it's not. You think you're saving money. You're not saving money. You're causing more and more aggravation out there. So that's all I got for tonight. I kind of came on a little bit late, but I said, this has been on my mind and this comes up every once in a while. We're just going to go out there. We're going to go for it. And I went for it. I hope this was useful and helpful for you. And I hope that if your company is in this situation, I hope that now forward this along, this whole thing. Hey, there's a guy out there, a big red shirt, safety words, blah, blah, blah. You know, go out there and, go out there and find this stuff out. You know, send it to him. Say, hey, look, dude, this is what's going on. We may be opening ourselves up to liability and here with this. This is what that's it. A lot of people, what I'm finding from a lot of the feedback I get is that a lot of health and safety professionals don't have these conversations. They're afraid. What are we about? We're about empowering people. We're about going out there and doing the right thing by your employees, by your company. And if you are not bringing this stuff that we talk about to your company's attention, you're not being a very good health and safety professional or an employee with that. I'm sorry. If you're management, you're not. Because you have a what do you call it? Titular, right? Incumbent duty. It's on you to make sure a fiduciary, that's the word, a fiduciary responsibility to look after your company. They're playing for you. That's the other advantage of having employees rather than independent contractors. And that's what I got tonight for Safety Wars. What else is going on? We're going to talk about the news. Hold on. We're going to talk more about the news. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news. The EPA came out with some stuff this week we're going to talk about. But, nobody ever wants to talk about this. That's what we like to talk about. It's what nobody else is talking about. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope to see you later on. And for Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel. Hold on here. You know what? Let's do a commercial here. I did not do a commercial.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Polzel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant, that's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Polzel and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.